Teresa's going to come up here in a moment and read something, but before she does, I wanted to give a little introduction to what we're doing. One of the disadvantages for you is that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me about a particular passage, that then I foist that on you, right? And maybe you think, well, enough already, Tim. But, you know, that's, again, that's a disadvantage for you. But I am convinced that the last three verses here in Romans, not the last three, but Romans 28, 29, and 30 in chapter 8. Yeah, I know you think you know it. I know that. But I'll tell you why you don't know it. I think Nathan has a pretty good understanding of Scripture. And just this morning, Nate comes up to me with that verse, and he says, I just saw something here that I never saw before. And he told me what he saw, and it is exactly what the message is about today. So you see, how many times have you read these three verses? And yet, there's more there. So what we're going to tackle today is two things. Verse 29, I'm sorry. You see that in the back of your script, on your sheets there? It's at the bottom. I kind of mixed them up, but it's at the bottom of the page. Verse 29 is what we're going to tackle, and verse 30 we're also going to tackle. Because verse 29 is, well, that's about predestination, right? That's about predestination. You want to take that topic on today? Predestination meaning God has predestined your eternal destiny. He's already decided it. And you're in and you're out. Okay, that's predestination. So verse 29 is about predestination. Well, actually it isn't. So we're going to tackle that subject. And also verse 30 then is about the conformity to the image of the Son. Verse 30 is how that takes place. So we're gonna just go through this together, and I think you will be blessed by it. And to take on the predestination, which I will confess right now, I know there's a strong theological strain out there that believes and teaches that, the predestination. Pastor Tim does not sign on with that at all. And I'm going to explain why very carefully, I hope, and through the power of the Spirit. But Teresa's going to read something from Dallas Willard about God's call. God's call to every man-jack one of us, every man, woman, and child on the planet. So, Teresa, you want to come up and do that reading?
Well, this is from a book called The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard, and we talked about this morning. We're trying to figure out a way to incorporate this in our morning Sunday school, and we're not sure quite how to do it. It's one of those books that requires like 3 and 4 readings of each paragraph, and it's one of those books that lifted me Godward, and it was powerful for me, very powerful for me, and a necessary thing for me. So that's the book that I'm reading, and then that was heavy lifting. Maybe I should say it that way, because it just takes a lot to do that. So I'm just reading a section that is titled The Invitation. In the gloom, a light glimmers and glows. We have received an invitation. We are invited to make a pilgrimage into the heart and life of God. The invitation has long been on public record. You can hardly look anywhere across the human scene and not encounter it. It is literally blowing in the wind. A door of welcome seems open to everyone without exception. No person or circumstance other than our own decision can keep us away. Whosoever will may come. The major problem with the invitation now is precisely overfamiliarity. Familiarity breeds unfamiliarity, unsuspected unfamiliarity, and then contempt. People think they have heard the invitation. They think they have accepted it or rejected it, but they have not. The difficulty today is to hear it at all. Genius, it is said, is the ability to scrutinize the obvious. Written everywhere, we may think, how could the invitation be subtle or deep? It looks like the other graffiti and even shows up in some of the same places. But that is part of the divine conspiracy. God's desire for us is that we should live in Him. He sends among us the way to Himself. That shows what, in His heart of hearts, God is really like. Indeed, what reality is really like. In its deepest nature and meaning, our universe is a community of boundless and totally competent love. God makes Himself and His kingdom available, not in every way human beings have imagined, surely, but in a simple way, in a way that paradoxically is quite familiar to billions of people and that millions more have heard about. Paradoxically, because though multitudes have heard about this way and even insist upon its rightness, humanity, for the most part, still lives in a far country.
How do you know verse 28 is true? For we know, says Paul, that all things work together for the good. Now, we have to get crystal clear, what is, in this context, the good? Do you see any clues there of what the good is in these three verses? How about circling for the good? That's how Tim does it in study scripture. Then go down to verse 29 and circle conformed to the image of his son and draw an arrow between the two, because that is what Paul is talking about, what is our good. Got it? It doesn't mean, please understand this, it does not mean everything in your agenda is going to work out the way you want it to work out. Living proof right here, that ain't true. Paul is saying the good here is our conformity to the image of his son. For the good of who? Of those. Who are those? Do you love God? And have you been called according to his purpose? Teresa just read from Dallas Willard a very penetrating view into how God calls. But he calls for his purpose. What's his purpose? Here's where you draw another circle around. According to his purpose, and you draw another arrow down to conform to the image of his son. That is our good. That is his purpose. Together. You see, in these two verses, our good and God's will for us find a nexus. We find out what it's all about right here. What Teresa was reading, that we have been invited inexplicably. Invited into sharing the very life of God. And yet, so many humanity lives in what he called, Dallas Willard called, the far country. Why? Because the call, the conformity, has become so shopworn and so familiar and so undervalued that you need to, I think, as God's men and women, we need to wake up to this wonderful, remarkable opportunity that is being offered here. for the good of those who love God, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. How do you know that's true? How can we possibly get our minds around that and know that, that's going to be true? Verse 29. How do we have unshakable confidence that verse 28 is true? Verse 29. This is written by Paul. Who is Paul? Paul is arguably the greatest apostle that ever lived. How do you know that, Tim? Well, I say that Paul, all right, I'll rephrase that. Paul is maybe the most influential apostle that ever lived because his writings have changed the world. And he is making a promise to God's people here. He's making a promise to you, and he is saying the reason you know verse 28 is unshakably true and you can have confidence in that ever and always is because of verse 29. What do you see in verse 29 that makes verse 28 true? This is what Nathan picked up, and he came up to me and said, ah, this is a promise. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right, Nathan. Let's go through this carefully. Paul says, for. You see that? For. In verse 29. In other words, when Paul says that, he means, this is why what I just said is true. This is why 28 is true, Paul says, for the following is true. For those, who are those? Who are those? Those, what, Kathy? Yeah, good. What?
Love God.
Love God and? Called according to his purpose. For those, for that group, he foreknew something. God foreknew something was in store for that group. So we have the characteristics here of what it means to be a son or daughter of God. The first two things we see to be a son and daughter of God, what it means to be in the family, is that you love God and that you have been called according to his purpose and that you have answered that call. And the call that you have answered is his purpose, not yours. Therefore, that's a characteristic of the family. Now, those two things in and of themselves, because we love God and because we've been called according to his purpose, that does not give me any guarantee that all things in my life are going to work together to make me more Christ-like. I don't see any guarantee there. I see two characteristics that I have, and I do have those, and I trust that you have those. But that's not the guarantee. For those he foreknew, look, he also, you see that? Not only, Paul says, do you love God, not only have you been called according to his purpose, there's a further thing that you might not be aware of. There's a further characteristic about these that love him and are called according to his purpose. And that further characteristic is they've been predestined. They've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Tracking? You see, Nathan was absolutely right. That's a promise. You are guaranteed, you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Promise. Therefore, for the God lovers, for those called according to his purpose, watch this. Nothing you can do, nothing Satan can do, nothing others can do is going to truncate and thwart that promise to us. This is the Creator Covenant God, and he knew from eternity past this was what he had planned for those who are in his family. Guaranteed, ironclad, God's promise. Therefore, because God made that promise, and because nothing can shake that promise, because you can't shake that promise, all things all things will summate, ordered by God to cooperate and to be used so that you are conformed to the image of his Son. What is predestined here is not, now watch this, it's not that there are individuals predestined to be saved and you're predestined to be lost. No, what is predestined here is the plan. You see this? It is God's plan that is predestined. Let me put it in a better Tim paraphrase. Okay. If you have the Spirit, you belong to him. Okay? And since you belong to him, or maybe because you belong to him, you have been put on a path, on a road that has a predetermined destination, a predetermined conclusion. And God knew from eternity past that this is what he had always planned for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. He knew from eternity past that this was what, ever and always, this is what his plan was to do with those people. And what is that conclusion? What is the predestination that you are going toward? You are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus of Nazareth, the anointed Christ of the Creator, covenant God. That's where your road ends. Predetermined. You see at the 1 Corinthians 2:7 there at the top of your sheet. This is again Paul. And Paul's talking about this plan. And what does Paul say about this plan? It's a mystery. It's God's wisdom. And what did he do? He predestined that before the ages. Why? For our glory. The plan for you to be Christ-like was predestined by God before even the first nebula was created. You cannot interfere with it. You cannot stop it. You cannot change it. And that is why we know. All things are going to do this for us by our God's order. Teresa and I, so you understand this. We go down to Charm, you know, on a Wednesday, and if it's a nice day, we'll go down there and buy some cheese and buy some rocking chairs for the porch, you know, and just tool around Charm. You know, that tells you something about our lives, I guess. You know, that's a big day for us. But, and then we want to go to, what's the name of that hardware? Lehman's Hardware. Then we want to go to Lehman's Hardware, which is over somewhere else, on the other side of Berlin. Well, there's a way to get there that is direct to get to Lehman's Hardware. This is the conformity to the image of the Son of his love. This is the thing that you can't interfere with. And we get there very circuitously. We have Teresa, you know, does this phone thing and plugs in, we want to go to Lehman's Hardware. And this explains the all things, I think. But we don't want to go down the main road, although that would be easier, and that's a more direct route. No, we'd like to drive around the back country and look at the farms and, you know, the scenery and so forth. No matter, because Teresa's got this GPS thing going on her smartphone, no matter what turn I make, no matter if I go in a direction that is opposite to Lehman's Hardware, that thing keeps recalculating. You see this? You think you've taken some wrong roads in your life? I have. And you think that God knows, you know, the best way to get to Christ-likeness is probably the easiest way with the less fallout is probably the main road. But as I said about Jesus, understanding our human frailty, I know, God says, I know you're going to take the scenic route. I know you're going to go the other way, but you don't have to worry. Because all things along that route become your route. Helpful? You see, God's GPS keeps recalculating. Oh, I took a wrong turn there. No matter. That little device on Teresa's phone just does a little beeping around thing, and then it says, you know, now you, okay, you're all right. You're all right. You're going to get there. And now here's how you go. Okay? Again, I'll ignore the GPS because she'll say, hey, look at that. Let's go down that road. Let's check that out. Well, the GPS is saying, no, you should go this way. Well, okay, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to turn left instead. Recalculates. You see, there's nothing I can do to stop that system from getting me to Layman's Hardware. I'm going to get there. It's going to continually recalculate my route. If you think that you have the power to interfere with the Creator Covenant's plan for your life and for His purpose, you are sadly mistaken, and do not let the enemy do that to you. You are going to arrive at that destination. It's been predetermined. You're going there. You're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, and you are going to take a lot of wrong turns on your route to get there. But God orders those routes to then summate for your particular path to Christ's likeness. Shakespeare's got a quote about that. He says, our indiscretion sometimes serves us well when our deep plots do fall. And then he says, and that should learn us that there's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough you them as we will. Now, Shakespeare was, he was a bit of a theologian. He was not a, from what I know about him, not a particularly godly person, but he had, boy, he understood human nature, and he also understood scripture. And isn't that a telling quote? Because I'll bet you have rough hewn your life. And even your indiscretions, even taking that left turn, is of no consequence to God. Isn't that good? Could we serve a God like that? That is so compassionate that no matter our frailties, our sin, our wrong turns, nothing is going to stand in the way of His plan for you, His son or His daughter. You are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the destination that you are going to. For those who love Him and that are called according to His purpose, He knew from eternity past that they also had this going for them. They also had this thing that makes all things work together for that. They have this going for them. They have the promise of the one who redeemed you, that He who began a good work in you is going to bring it through to completion. And that is why we stand with confidence against the enemy's best arrows, the slings and arrows, Shakespeare again, the slings and arrows that come at us from the enemy, that there's no way you can ever get to Christ's likeness. And we say back to Him, we have the word of our God that indeed we are headed for Christ's likeness. Why is this God's plan? verse 29? So that. Always look for that in Paul. He makes a statement, and then he says, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many younger siblings. God foreknew. This gets to the very heart of our theology and understanding. And like Dallas Willard said, as Teresa read, that we are invited inexplicably and mind-blowingly, we have been invited to participate in the worldwide family of God. This was always his purpose from eternity past. The worldwide family of God. Don't let the enemy take that away from you. Don't let the enemy bog you down in all the wrong turns you've taken. And they are many. Because to him, it is of no matter. Because he's promised us that. And I want to end by just reading the totality of Psalm 121. Because it speaks to this promise. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? Because I've taken all of these wrong turns. And as a result, there's a mountain. I created it. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. You seen that? He won't allow you to slip off this path that goes to Christ-likeness. I'm so grateful there's something greater than myself in control of this. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. And when that coming and going means that God has to recalculate, is anything too great for God? Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, I love this promise. Amen.